want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
We are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
Your home for healthy masculinity. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I be Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
But we're on location today.
We are on location.
We are remote. This might look a little different.
Might sound a little different.
We kind of winging it. We are at the B-Men Beers, Bros, and Bucks monthly meetup gathering of men to talk about stuff. I think tonight we're talking about like what is love or something like that.
What is love?
Isn't that a song?
There's a bunch of songs.
Yeah, a bunch of songs. But so we decided, you know, let's just set up here, man, and go on live before we do our thing.
Yeah, I decided instead of driving all across town after driving all across town already, I would just stay here.
Yeah.
Well, so
there you go. And then, you know, we just doing what we do, man. Yep. We doing what we do. So it might look a little different, might sound a little different, but the content and the heart is still the same.
Yep.
Doing what we do, as we do, when we do, for what we do.
We still here for you. Right here, y'all. On your home for healthy masculinity.
And we're on free likes and free subscribes all month
free
long.
Likes, free subscribes.
We took down the paywall, so you don't have to pay this month.
We're not even charging dimes and nickels.
No. So go ahead, hit like, hit subscribe, holler at your boys. Check us out, madmenradio.com, all those kind of good things. Jamie, you asked me what we talking about, and I said, man, I don't know.
Yeah, see, this is kind of preparation I get, but, you know, you ever see how he just pulls it out? You don't know what's going on, but he's still there.
That's what she said.
Ha! Wait, man, it's a good thing this isn't our FCC show.
That's what she said.
We're going to be in trouble. So we're talking about, if you read the title, if you looked at the screenshot, you looked at the picture, it's beliefs, barriers, or bridges.
Ooh.
So, I mean, you want to dig in? You want me to dig in? How you want to go?
Wow. Man, that's, you know, it's your show, man. You the boss, man. You mission control. You launched this rocket.
See how it is? Just throw me under the bus. Yep. That's all right.
Pretty much.
So beliefs. We all have beliefs. Are they our beliefs? Did we get downloaded these beliefs? Are they our parents' beliefs, our family's beliefs, our cultural beliefs? Are they helping us? Are your beliefs turning into barriers in your life? And or are they bridges? Because I think in my experience, a lot of others' experiences, once you get to a certain age, you realize a lot of the things that I believe, especially about myself and my potential and what I can do in the world, may not be a bridge. It may be a barrier because I think, I'm not good enough. Like we just did the Worthy Man episode, and most of those unconscious beliefs in how we feel about ourselves, a lot of the blocks and things in our lives come from a feeling of unworthiness. And so if you have a belief running unconsciously that says, oh, I'm not worthy of that, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not the man for that, or I'm not going to be successful, well, guess what? You're not. As Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. So we wanted to dig into beliefs and maybe get you thinking about, well, are these beliefs true? And if so, or if not, how can I change them? And where should I start? Because I know in my experience, most of my beliefs or a lot of my beliefs were not necessarily the best beliefs for what I wanted to achieve in my life. And so I've had to acknowledge them and then replace them with something better.
I got a perfect example that just jumped into my mind. First of all, one might, in prime example, one might believe that we're just kind of, you know, a lot of times, especially here at the mid-end week, you know, shortened version of Mad Men. Normally, we're kind of different parts of town. Today, we're literally on the opposite sides of the table. So you might believe just because it's internet and split screen that we are here, we are there. But if you look even over my shoulder, you can see the top of his head right. Oh, now he's ducking. The top of his head right there. And so beliefs on top, you know, perspectives and perceptions and all those kinds of things. So my father died when he was 46 years old. His father died when he was 46 years old. The father before him died before 46. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be 51 years old. My whole life growing up, I looked at that number 46 as like, you know, my expiration date, like a carton of milk. And I expected, you know, in a way, I mean, for a long time, I kind of expected that was about it. Like that was the end of the runway. But then at some point, you know, my program beliefs about that is that I'm not stuck with the generational curses that came before me. I'm not stuck with the things that were passed down to me. You know, I'm not limited by limits that were placed on me by biology and physiology and all these other kind of things and life expectancy, et cetera, et cetera. I had to get to the point of, you know, seeing beyond 46. And I don't, you know, I have no idea, but I believe that had a little bit something to do with the fact that I saw beyond, or I not only did I see beyond it in my mind and in my heart, but now I've seen beyond it by several years, you know, in actuality. And so to me, that's, you know, that comes to mind in terms of a prime example of what you're talking about in terms of, is it a barrier or is it a bridge to somewhere you want to go?
It's a great example, because how many of us would just assume that, oh, well, because of XYZ, because my father, my grandfather, they only lived till 46, and that's all I can expect. And that becomes a barrier, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that, oh, well, that's what happened to them, so that's what's going to happen to me. And then you end up creating that in your life. And really looking back on the beliefs that were downloaded to you, especially by well-meaning parents who did the best they could, but were attempting to protect you in whatever way they could, whatever form or fashion, and may have instilled negative belief systems saying, don't do that, be safe, play small, you know, you're never going to be successful, you're never going to be a millionaire, you're never going to be this, that, or the other thing. And then you believe that. And because you believe that, you made it true. But I'm here to tell you that you can change your beliefs by first realizing that a belief is just a thought you kept thinking until it hardwired in your brain, and then now it runs on autopilot. It runs unconsciously saying, you're not good enough, you can't do that, you don't have the capabilities. And pretty much for most of us, 99.9% of us, we have some aspect of that in our life. We have some aspect of that in our head saying, we're not good enough, we can't do it. And then we have to break through those things. And that's why we say, is it a barrier or is it a bridge? Because for most people to be successful, they've got to deal with those unconscious beliefs. They got to deal with those things that have been downloaded to them. Maybe they picked up from well-meaning parents or family or just their culture in general. And you have to look at that. And one of the things that came up, I was talking to a friend of the show, Jessica Allier, who's been on the show. And she was like, we were talking about beliefs and different things. And she's like, when you realize beliefs are a hologram, that they look real, they look solid. But if you attack that belief or investigate that belief, you realize there's nothing there. Your hand goes right through it. And then you go, okay, well, if that's not real, then what do I want to be real? And you realize that all these beliefs you're carrying around, it's like paper mache. It's you know, the Wizard of Oz, the man, don't look at the man behind the curtain. And it looks like this big, terrible thing, but it's just some little dude behind the curtain. And you just say, no, move it on over. I'm going this way, and create a whole new belief system. It just takes a bit of time and repetition.
Les Brown talks about this. He has a great speech called "It's Possible," and in that speech, you know, one of the examples he uses is, you know, for the longest time, the thought was that no human could run faster than a 4-minute mile. Until May of 1954, I just had to pull up my phone to make that date right. Until May of 1954, when Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, and so no human had done it before, and everybody thought it was impossible. And then when Roger Bannister did it, since then, people knowing that it was possible, it is possible, you know, since then, and even as Les Brown describes it, you know, tens of thousands of people have run a 4-minute mile, including high school kids. And, you know, and so maybe, you know, again, referring to Les Brown's speech, you know, maybe the only thing that changed was the belief that it was possible, and the belief that if he can do it, anybody can do it, or if he can do it, I can do it. And maybe that's the difference. And so there's so many things in our lives, so many perceptions maybe that we have, beliefs that we may have that are limited by the glass ceiling of what others have or have not accomplished in life. But there may be a time where I think people are called upon, maybe you're the one to break that glass ceiling. Maybe you're the Roger Bannister for your family. Maybe you're the Roger Bannister for your industry or for whatever people who've been through what you've gone through. Maybe the fact that you made it through something or you broke through something, whether it be, you know, an addiction or a curse or some kind of career thing or financial thing, maybe the fact that you survived a health scare or something like that, maybe the fact that you survived all of that is because you're the glass breaker, the glass ceiling breaker, to now set a whole new standard of belief for people behind you on what is possible.
Yeah, if you're sitting there wondering, well, how do I change my beliefs, or how, you know, if I don't believe something's possible, then I'm stuck. Well, no. A great example is one I used before. I'm going to use it again. If I had you stand up and say, and I was like, hey, change 25 things about you. Most of you'd be like, your eyes get big. You're like, I don't know what. Okay. How about change one thing about you? Maybe change, now that you've done that, maybe change one more thing. And that's how we change those beliefs. You know, it's incremental steps across time. And that's how you basically formed that belief in the first place, was that somebody gave you a thought, you downloaded that thought, you kept thinking that thought, you formed the neural pathway, and then it became unconscious. And now it becomes an automatic running belief system that you can change. It just takes a little bit of time. Well, I'm sorry, there's two ways you can do it. There's either trauma or time. Most of us, unfortunately, will wait till the trauma happens, and then we're like, oh, I don't know, I'll change my belief systems. But the best way and the easiest way is to build some self-confidence and self-courage and self-respect and do it incrementally over time and just allow those steps one after the other to get you there. Because if I ask you to change 25 or 50 or 100 things about you and your eyes got big and you're like, I don't know how to do that, but then you started with one thing and then repeated that 25, 50, and 100 times, you would have changed all those things. So break it down. What's the first thing in front of you? What's the first step? Do that. And then that will lead to the next step, and so on and so on. And then before you know it, you'll be a wholly different person than who you were before, with a whole new set of beliefs that you never had before, because you're a different person.
So you better be careful about what you believe. You better be careful about the things that you allow into not only your mind sight, but your heart sight as well. You got to be careful about, you better be careful with the things you let set in terms of whatever the limits are for you or your life or your direction that you're going in or anything like that. Because those things definitely play into, if nothing else, play into, play into the decisions that you make and what you think may or may not happen or may or may not come through. And, you know, I was watching a video podcast earlier today on YouTube, and it was, you know, very, at one time, a famous, one of the best college athletes, you know, supposedly to ever come out of Texas. And it was Johnny Manziel. And he was talking about how there were colleges that he thought of going to, but when he got there, when he saw the other quarterbacks that he would be competing against, he didn't think he would be able to get playing time because they were bigger and stronger and all these other kind of things. And he said he ended up going to Texas A&M, where he ended up winning the Heisman as a freshman, because, you know, he saw the opportunity and he saw what was there, and you know, he believed that he could make it happen there. So on one hand, he didn't make a choice on a college, particularly Oregon, because Marcus Mariota was there and, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. But he didn't think he could have a shot, but he did believe that he could have a shot, you know, at Texas A&M. And he saw all the opportunity, the coaches and all that kind of stuff, and he ended up making it happen. So you got to be careful what you believe, whether it's your faith, whether it's your, you know, your, in, again, finances, family, relationships, your health, career, all these other kind of things that you can accomplish. You know, if you think you can lose weight, or you want to lose weight, if you don't believe you can lose weight, you're not going to lose weight. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you won't put in the effort. You won't go that extra oomph to do what it takes to make it happen. So, you know, so you better be careful about the things you believe and the things you let into your mind.
Yeah. If you're not where you want to be right now, chances are, more than likely, you have beliefs that are holding you back, that are down there, maybe given by a well-meaning parent that, to keep you safe, so that you played small, that you played it safe, you didn't do things that might endanger you, or maybe they just didn't want you to be disappointed, and they said, oh, don't try so hard, don't go so big, and, you know, we don't want you to be disappointed. Well, to get to where you want to go, if you're not there yet, start visualizing who that person would be, who you have to be to get those goals, to be that person, and start thinking, what would that person do? Start visualizing. I mean, every sport, every Olympian, every race car driver, everybody I know that's professional visualizes each event. They visualize what they've got to do. So start visualizing what you want, then start visualizing, who do I have to be to get those things? And then start acting accordingly. And yeah, you're going to go back and forth. You'll probably want to have a coach or a group or both to help you through the tough times. But know that when you identify the goal that you want, you identify where you want to go, and you start practicing being that person that will take you there, that person that if you want to stand on stage in front of 100,000 people or 10,000 people or 1,000 people, then you start acting like, well, who would be that person that could stand on that stage? Maybe I need to get a speaking coach. Maybe I need to figure out what my keynote speech is. Maybe I need to find out what it is I have to share to the world. And probably that comes from your past. Probably that comes from your struggles. All role models have a hard past, usually, because they've been through it, so they can talk about it. Maybe your past was hard for a reason so that you could be an example. But it's up to you to find those things, and then what do you want to do with that? Look at your past, figure out who you are, what's the thing you didn't get, or what's the thing you wish you could have gotten or want to inspire in others, and then become that person who can do that. But it starts with those belief systems. First, you got to believe that you can do it. Start imagining that you are that person. How does that person act? And then small steps over time. You're not going to do it overnight. If you do it overnight, it's probably traumatic, and it's probably a charlatan kind of sales thing, and it's not going to last. But you can do it. You just got to take the step and be consistent.
In my family, I was the first one, cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever, first one in our entire family lineage to ever graduate from college. I will tell you that, you know, for me, I had no idea the significance of that until 60 something of my family members, or 40s, whatever, a whole lot of dozens and dozens of my family members,
everybody
came down for the graduation when that happened. And I was able to look around the room and see that, you know, the people that came before me and my family really laid the path for me to accomplish that, or to see that accomplishment come through. And part of me believed, and still believe, that there was a time for them, you know, where they believed that somebody in our family would do it, that somebody in our family, you know, would break that glass ceiling, or would achieve something like that. That just wasn't even a thing in my family, the whole idea of going to college. And part of that, I was kind of too stupid to know, you know, too stupid to know that that wasn't a thing, you know, but I also kind of had goals that required me going to college. And so it was just one of the next things that I did. But I tend to believe that my family believed, you know, that their hard work and investing in the next generation and all that would pay off. And, you know, I was honored to be that one. And so I understand that when I got my diploma and I walked across the stage, that stage was propped up on the shoulders of people that came before me that believed in greater things than they had necessarily accomplished in terms of education and life. And so I was able to get over that fence or get over that obstacle because I was standing on the shoulders of people that came before me. And I believe that they believe that it was even possible for one of us to do that in our family.
Yeah. And I mean, and as a great example, I mean, Kirk, you've been breaking glass ceilings all over the place and breaking belief systems all over the place. First, you didn't think you were going to live. You were the first one to go to college, probably the first one to have a radio show, probably the first one to be a published author twice, probably the first one to, you know, do so many things. But it started with just those beliefs. And then like once you break one belief, then, oh, the next one's possible. Just like the 4-minute mile, people thought that your body would fly apart. And then Roger Bannister incrementally worked his way up to 359, 359.5, and all that. And then he got to 4-minute mile or under 4-minute mile. But he made it incrementally. He just kept trying, and made it incrementally. And then once he did it, That shattered that glass ceiling. That shattered that belief. And then it shows you that when you focus so much on, quote unquote, what you believe to be true about yourself, but you don't ground yourself in a sense of reality and look around you and realize that, well, if that person did it, I probably have the same capabilities and the same opportunities and the same things that that person did. I just need to believe that I do. And once you start to believe it and start to take those steps, you'll start to open, you know, things will just open up to you. The whole, you know, law of attraction, manifestation, synchronicity, it's really a belief system change. You believe that something's possible, then that opens a door. You take that step, another door opens. You take that step, another door opens. That's how these opportunities happen, but it starts with the belief. And why some people are so lucky, because they believe that they're lucky. They believe they can accomplish things. You know, some of the most successful people are the ones that you say, you can't do that. And they say, watch me. You know, don't stop somebody because you don't believe it's true from doing what you think is impossible.
And, you know, I use myself as a couple examples, not because, you know, but these are just lessons that I've learned in life. And I just want to make them practical and just as opposed to trying to memorize everybody else's story. You know, I don't have to memorize mine. You know, and the cool part, even when I talked about the education part of it, you know, and being the first one to get a degree, since then, you know, my brother, not only did he get a bachelor's, but he's got a master's and he's already working on an MBA in addition to that.
See, you know, trying to outdo you.
I got another cousin. Yeah, he probably. But I got another cousin that's just got a law degree. I mean, you know, and so, you know, I mean, these are just examples of how it's possible to break the glass ceilings through, you know, through beliefs and through all those kinds of things. And it is, you know, it is 100%. And so to your question, you know, barriers or bridges, you know, I see it both. Like in my life, I've also seen it where I didn't think it was possible to break free from an addiction. And I remember living 30 years thinking there's no way this can ever happen. And that belief kept me in that addiction, you know. And so there are times in my life when I've seen it as a barrier. And there are also times where I've seen having positive beliefs as a bridge to get where I couldn't get otherwise.
Yeah. What it comes down to, and maybe if you're stuck and you feel like these beliefs are just set in stone and you can't do anything with them, start with something small. Because once you shatter one, once you realize it's a hologram, it's not real, it's not the wall that you think it is. It's not the barrier you think it is. You can walk right through it. You can put your hand through it and break it down or just pass right through it. Then you realize it becomes a bridge, not just for you, but for others. I mean, Kirk was the first one to go to college and get a degree. Now look, the rest of his family's like, well, watch this. It's how we break the family lineages. We have, you know, change a belief system from a barrier to a bridge, and then watch how many people join us across that. Just like, how many times in America have we had something that we thought was a barrier and then it turned into a bridge with all of us in this melting pot and all these things? And, you know, when we watch a lot of the news, a lot of times you see they're trying to put barriers up. And then what I love is now I see a lot of people turning those quote unquote barriers into bridges. Like, oh, they said this. Let's show them that's not true. Let's turn it into a bridge and then break these belief systems that are holding you back. You might take a little bit of therapy, might take a little counseling, might take someone to kind of walk you through that maze, but I guarantee you, once you break one, you're going to realize that's possible, and then the next one's going to be possible, and then they get easier and easier and easier. Then before you know it, you're blowing your own mind of things you never, ever, ever in your life thought would be possible because you started with that one little belief.
I believe that it's possible to get a celebrity that we have in a room to come over here.
It is.
The one and only Mr. Jude Sandoval came into the room while we were talking. I'm gonna get him to come over here and get on camera.
Only if I can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Talk about bridges.
Yeah. Jude is the one and only, he's the divorced advocate. He's got one of the most popular podcasts in the country right now, in the world. And he's doing his thing, man. He's supporting guys who are going through something, you know, tremendous in their life or have gone through, and that would be divorce. And I'm one of those. Did I say
traumatic? Traumatic.
Traumatic. Come on, I went to public school, man. Dude. I mean, you know, cut me out. So,
well, I mean, maybe after what, two, three?
Two.
Two.
Dude, come on, dude.
Bro. Tremendous for you, but after one, it was traumatic. Bruh. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the notion that beliefs can be either barriers or bridges?
True.
Thanks. Yeah, that's why he has one of the best podcasts around. There you go.
He's a great, great interviewer. Right there.
Deep wisdom from Jude. So anyhow, we're doing our Beers, Bros, and Bucks, and Jude's gracious enough to host us. And he walked in, and I was like, man, I was like, dude, we got a celebrity in the house. Yeah. Man. We got to get the brother on. You guys do great work. So
well, thank you. We believe that.
We believe that.
You should believe that. And I'm blessed to work with you guys and collaborate with you guys. And I just want to tell anybody that is listening to spread the word about the Mad Men of Masculinity, because the more people, the more men and women that listen and hear the message that these two fine gentlemen have going out there, the better our world's going to be. So,
boom.
Thank you, Jude.
And, you know, we like to keep it real on the show.
Yeah.
I want to keep it real and make it obvious or notice that you obviously been eating some corn chips.
Tortilla chips.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to get so close to you. Dude. So, not you. Know.
Just saying, see, be careful what you wish for.
We boys with boundaries, dude.
Be careful what you wish for.
Go.
Come on over here.
Come on over here. I don't mind. Come on over here. Yeah.
Go fall.
Doritos.
Doritos.
Good stuff, but keep watching. Join the Mad Men Mafia. Keep posting, because not only are Kirk and I on the big things, but Jude is joining with us, plus the B-Man group, plus a lot of other guys are coming together to put things together for this summer around Father's Day. So if you're in the Denver area, make sure to keep watching and keep posting, because we will be updating and sending out invites and posting things about what we're putting together, because we do have a men's summit coming, and it's going to be just for men around Father's Day to change your belief systems, to turn you into the best version of yourself you can be. And it's just about us coming together and sharing all that we've learned and all that we've experienced with you.
And that's what we're here. That's what we're here. We're all about that. We are for that. We are for you as men. We are men. We got the same struggles. Neither one of us is, you know, is on and popping like that. You know, neither one of us is like, you know, whatever this, you know, we are passionate about doing this, even if it's across the table with not the perfect studio setup and sound and all that kind of stuff. We are passionate to just even bring our thoughts, our hopes, our inspiration, our perspectives to other normal guys out there who are just living every day, you know, looking for something to take them from one level to the next. And so we are passionate about that. We hope that you would, you know, check us out, madmenradio.com, you know, holler at your boys on YouTube and Facebook and whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Hopefully one day we'll be up to the levels of Jude and the Divorced Advocate. But until we get to that point, go check out Jude and the Divorced Advocate.
He's on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, everywhere you can find it, just like us. Yeah. Hey, show him your shirt, man, before we get out.
That's right. I got the shirt from somebody around here. I don't know if it's is it backwards or what.
No, it's perfect.
Boom.
So shout out to Stevie Knight. I love the shirt. I had to get us both one. Make masculinity great again. And gives me a good idea. We probably need to come up with our own swag and start hooking up the Mad Men Mafia with some Mad Men swag. Mm-hmm. But since we got B-Man, we got Divorced Advocate, we got all the guys coming in, we're going to cut a little short tonight. But remember, Mad Men are here for you. We love you. And until next time, we are out.